Okay, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Chuck Connor, and I'm the President and CEO of the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives, a national trade association representing the business and policy interests of America's farmer-owned cooperatives. NCFC is also a founding member, along with the people you see here joining me today, of the Agricultural Workforce Coalition. The AWC brings together organizations representing very diverse needs of agricultural employers across the country and serves as a unified voice of agriculture in this process. As many of you know, the formation of the AWC represents a significant change from past immigration debates. For many years, agriculture and the farming sector have spoken with many voices on immigration. Today, we speak with one voice. We have a landmark agricultural immigration comprehensive bill that has been introduced in the Senate. And a key to that landmark agreement was reached late last week with the discussions between the AWC and representatives from the United Farm Workers Union. So it is my great pleasure to be joined with our group today by Arturo Rodriguez, the president of the United Farm Workers Union. I would also like to express our appreciation for the efforts of Senators Dianne Feinstein, Marco Rubio, Orrin Hatch, and Michael Bennett in fostering these successful discussions between the AWC and the UFW. I would also note that not present today upon this group in front of you was Bob Stallman, president of the American Farm Bureau Federation. Farm Bureau has been a key player in all of this. And in introducing the members of the Workforce Coalition in front of you today, I would like to start on my left with Tom Nassif, President and CEO of Western Growers Association, Jerry Kozak, President and CEO of National Milk Producers Federation, Tom Stencil, President and CEO of United Fresh Produce Association, Mike Stewart, President and CEO of Florida Fruit and Vegetable Association, Nancy Foster, President and CEO of U.S. Apple Association, and of course, as I have already noted, Arturo Rodriguez, President of the United Farm Workers Union. So with that, folks, we're going to do a brief round of very short opening statements and then open it up for any questions that you folks may have or others that are on the phone.
Thank you very much, Chuck. I'm Tom Nassif, President and CEO of Western Growers. Our members produce nearly half of the fresh fruit, vegetables, and tree nuts in the United States. From our perspective, today we've achieved something historic. Arturo and I have talked about the true meaning of what's been accomplished and the importance not only for agriculture in this country, but for comprehensive immigration also. Because I think without both ag and comprehensive, we wouldn't be able to achieve immigration reform in this country. So this agreement and our groups came together in a critical stage involving this crisis and securing a stable, legal, agricultural workforce for today and tomorrow. The agricultural component of the legislation introduced by the Gang of Eight is the product of many months of negotiation within the agricultural community and with worker representatives. The force of agricultural producers and worker representatives working together now in support of this legislation will play a significant role in achieving immigration reform this year. I echo Mr. Connor's comments about Senator Feinstein, Senator Rubio, Senator Bennett, and Senator Hatch. Absolutely critical that they were involved in all of this, and the fact that agriculture today is united in support of this legislation. Throughout this process, we have worked through many important and difficult issues, including wage rates for future workers, legalization of our existing workforce, worker protection, and caps on future visa programs. Each side had to make compromises, and while the agreement doesn't do everything each of us wants, each of us have come away with an agreement we can support. And that goes a long way to addressing most of our concerns. We look forward to working together to support the agreement throughout the legislative process. And we look forward also to answering any questions you may have later. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Jerry Kozak, President and CEO of the National Milk Producers Federation. NMPF represents the majority of milk produced in the country with dairy cooperatives and dairy farmers in almost every state. We're the third largest agricultural commodity, and last year we had $40 billion in cash receipts just at the farm gate. Fixing the broken immigration system has been one of National Milk's highest priorities dating back nearly a decade. Today we stand closer than ever before to doing that. And in fact, we're working with lawmakers to do is not merely fixing a broken system, but scrapping an old set of unworkable rules and replacing it with something better. Better for employers, better for employees, and better for law enforcement, better for the economy, and better for America. Throughout the process, we've been mindful of several key items that eventually we had to deal with. These include establishing a new blue card for experienced agricultural workers. This provides a means for farmers to keep their existing workforce, including those who may not be legally documented. We don't want our dairy farmers to lose their experienced, loyal employees as part of this effort. Second, creating a new visa system for future workers that is easy to use, it's affordable. There's no sense going through all of these efforts if the resulting product is too cumbersome, costly, and confusing to the dairy farmers who we represent and use it. That's why attempting to retrofit the seasonal H-2A program onto the dairy industry really wasn't a long-term solution. Three, assuring the future flow of new workers is pivotal to our dairy farming community, so that as the economy and jobs shift and evolve, we still have a means to recruit and hire new dairy workers for a long period of time. And finally, eliminating the seasonality element of any ag visa program, such as H-2A, which prevented U.S. dairy farmers from using it. Dairy producers need relief from having to demonstrate the seasonal or temporary nature of employment. So in closing, we've done a lot of work. We have a lot more work to do. And as Chuck said, we want to thank our bipartisan group of champions in the Senate who have heard our concerns. They've challenged us to compromise, and now we'll introduce a workable answer to a question that we've been struggling with for years. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Tom Stenzel, President and CEO of United Fresh Produce Association. I'd just like to recognize this historic agreement as well. As Tom said, as Chuck began, sitting here today with the United Farm Workers, with agriculture employers, is something that I'm not sure any of us really predicted just a few months ago. The progress that we've made, though, is progress that is meaningful to the American people because we feed the American people. The need for a legal, stable, reliable workforce has been our largest challenge. Our association represents producers and distributors of fresh fruits and vegetables across all 50 states. Our challenge has been harvesting and packing the crops. We today are facing labor shortages, the inability to find workers, and that's a problem that just was not going to go away. We know that many of our workers today are undocumented, but they are packing America's fresh fruits and vegetables and doing the hard work that many Americans will not do today. We strongly support this agreement for a couple reasons. It's bipartisan politically, and it meets the needs of both employers and workers. So with that, let me just look ahead. There is a long way to go with this legislation, but we are committed, everyone here in the front of the room and our organization, we're going to bring the weight of growers throughout all 50 states to the Senate and to the House in support of this legislation. Thank you.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Mike Stewart. I'm the president of the Florida Fruit and Vegetable Association. We're an organization that represents the vast majority of farmers producing specialty crops, obviously, in our great state of Florida. As everyone has already acknowledged, this is an historic moment. It has brought agriculture and labor together to find a solution for American agriculture. And I think it really is a once-in-a-generation opportunity that we really just can't afford to let go by. This coalition was founded with the singular purpose of supporting a solution that will provide American farmers with a legal and stable workforce. if you talk to farmers on a regular basis, which I do, you'll know that this issue, having access to a stable workforce, is the kind of issue that keeps them up at night. Without workers to count on, they simply can't continue to provide Americans with nutritious, safe, and abundant food. The legislation unveiled today is a significant step that points us toward meeting agriculture's objective of ensuring access to this reliable, skilled workforce now, and most importantly, in the future. It includes programs that will ensure farmers can continue to grow and harvest their crops. The key to the proposal's strength lies in important and critical bipartisan support from lawmakers and backing from agricultural employers and farm worker groups alike. I, too, want to recognize the four senators who are instrumental in bringing us all together to craft this solution. They just did tremendous work, particularly over the last few weeks into the wee hours of the night, as has been reported. And again, we owe them a great debt of gratitude. So thank you.
I'm Nancy Foster. I'm president and CEO of the U.S. Apple Association. U.S. Apple represents growers, packers, shippers, processors, marketers, literally the entire apple industry from tree to table. American apple growers are strongly supportive of the agriculture immigration reform package that's been described to you. We've worked long and hard to get there, and we're a founding member of the Agriculture Workforce Coalition and proud to be part of that. We thank the senators that introduced the legislation and brought us to this point. America's apple growers face a labor crisis, and they need immigration reform. They need this bill to ensure that their crop can be harvested each year. Each American apple, and that means over 20 billion of these apples, must be picked by hand coast to coast. Apples are grown in over 36 states, and they have to be picked by hand each fall when harvest occurs. This includes apples that you see at your large retail stores and apples that are sold at your small local farm markets, apples eaten by children in America's schools, and apples that are made into applesauce and apple juice served in hospitals and other food service establishments. When doctors tell us that we should be eating more apples and produce for good health, we believe these apples should be grown by American farmers, not foreign growers, and we need a reliable and skilled workforce to do that. Large apple growers typically may need 1,000 or more harvest workers, while smaller growers might only need 5 or 10. But altogether, we need about 70,000 harvest workers each year to get the crop off the trees. The apple industry is also integral to the health of many rural economies, as are my colleagues here, and each harvest job supports 2 to 3 other jobs out in rural American, jobs like sales, marketing, and transportation. The old saying we've all heard, as American as apple pie, may become obsolete unless this labor crisis is solved. That's because we're concerned that we'll import our apples and export our jobs to foreign orchards. The number one priority for American apple growers is passing legislation that ensures that their orchards will have the labor they need when they need it, and this bill does that. Mother Nature simply can't wait for workers that might or might not show up. Meanwhile, the apples are ripening on the trees. A major problem with where we are is the current guest worker program, the H-2A program, is broken beyond repair, and I could tell you many stories, horror stories about this program that apple growers have experienced. This bill that we're presenting to you sets up a workable program and provides a legal way for undocumented agriculture labor to work on our farms. For these reasons, we are pleased to strongly and enthusiastically support this bill's provisions for agricultural labor reform.
Good afternoon. My name is Arturo Rodriguez, President of the United Farm Workers. And first of all, I just want to thank the Agriculture Worker Coalition for hosting this event and inviting me to be a part of it today. I think that further just symbolizes the historic moment that we're engaged in here and the work that we've been doing over the past several weeks. Today, both agricultural employers and agricultural workers joined together in announcing a deal that we have put together that will strengthen our nation's agricultural industry. Both farmers and farm workers have worked together over the past few months with the support of senators from both political parties in the interest of improving our nation's agricultural industry. We are hopeful that this will merely be the first time we are coming together to do great things together for our nation's food supply. We are very excited about what we have accomplished together, and I want to also share some of the highlights. Under the proposed new immigration process, farm workers would be able to work in the fields without fear of getting deported immediately, and the bill will allow farm workers to reunite with their families in a relatively short period of time. The bill, when it becomes law, would give professional farm workers presently in the United States who have been contributing in our country by feeding our nation temporary legal status and the right to earn a green card in the future by continuing to work in agriculture. Farm workers are the backbone of our agricultural industry here in the United States, and a speedier process towards documentation provides an incentive for those farm workers who are currently working in agriculture to continue working in the industry. Farm workers will have the option to apply for paperwork to legalize their status in the U.S. either through the regular process for non-agricultural workers or through the special process created for those working in the agricultural industry. Finally, the bill creates a new agricultural worker visa program for the future. The new visa program creates a legal avenue for farm workers to enter the country and a way for agricultural employers to recruit farm workers in a legal and just manner. We have also come to a compromise on wage rates while strengthening some of the worker protections. We believe these wage rates will protect wages for those farm workers currently in the United States today, and are hopeful that these new wage rates will create stability for both agricultural employers and for agricultural workers into the future. As a result of this compromise, farm workers are one step closer to winning legal status and the recognition that they deserve, as well as to maintain a viable agricultural industry here in our country. These negotiated settlements would be a vehicle for improving the working conditions and job opportunities for farm workers in our nation. Finally, we also want to express our deepest gratitude to Senator Feinstein, Rubio, Hatch, and Bennett for their tireless work in working with the parties to forge this agreement that we've reached. We also will be working extremely hard in the coming months to ensure a victory for the agricultural industry, as well as for farm workers in our nation, and for consumers to make sure that our food supply continues to be grown here in the United States. Thank you very much, and si se puede.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for hearing us, and now we will be happy to respond to any questions from any of you in the room, and I believe we have some folks on the phone as well that will have the opportunity to ask questions, and we've got a good group, representative group up here, I think, to give you answers to any questions you may have. And if you ask a question, just please identify yourself and what newspaper or publication you happen to be with. Chuck.
Chuck Abbott with Reuters. Hoping you can talk a little bit about the immediate impact of this agreement. How many farm workers are there? I've heard extremely varying estimates. And will legalization of the current workforce result in higher wages?
Let me start, and then I'm happy to have this panel up here, as you might. In terms of guest workers in this country, Chuck, as you know, we have the current H-2A program, and I believe the estimates are between 50 to 70,000 workers are in this country under the current H-2A program. That, you know, as we have been described as a very difficult, cumbersome program that producers are not using, and, you know, therefore this bill does phase out us away from H-2A very, very rapidly and replaces it with the new negotiated guest worker program. In terms of the overall number, I'm going to look at the panel here for Tom. Do you have the number in terms of the estimates? Go ahead.
Yeah. My understanding is there's approximately 2 million farm workers in the country, and out of that 2 million, approximately 1.2 million are here working on false documents.
What are the
What about what?
I still have the microphone. This is power. With legalization of the current workforce, will that result in higher wages?
Well, the wages have been negotiated.
People have undoubtedly been paying lowest possible wage to people who have no choice and will take a few dollars, you know, take cash payment and not pay taxes.
Yes, of course, I disagree with you. We don't pay the lowest wages, and we don't pay cash payments to farm workers. That was a vestige of an era long gone by. The reason why most of our workers still work in agriculture is because they're being treated fairly. There are many laws, state and federal, to protect the farm workers. Some of them are unionized, protected by unions like the United Farm Workers and other unions. We have negotiated specific wages for the new visa holders for various job categories in agriculture. Obviously, that will always have an impact on U.S. workers and on blue-collar workers also. Do you want to respond to that, Fudo?
I agree with everything that Tom just said. And just in addition, you know, we feel, speaking on behalf of farm workers in the nation, we feel that the agreement that we came up with will definitely provide farm workers in this nation with a sense of security, as well as for the employers, that they'll have professional skilled workers to continue to work with them. And it does provide opportunities for workers to improve their situation if they decide to do so. It's their really decision, but I would just further emphasize that we feel very good about the agreement that we reached for the employers. It took a lot of discussion, a lot of debate that took place over the course of the last few weeks and few months, but we are very comfortable with what has been arrived at this point.
Chuck, I'll just close again very quickly on your question and saying, you know, it's a balanced agreement. Much of the discussions came down to wages and the cap on the number of workers that come through the guest worker program. And, you know, this has been a tough negotiation, but we feel this is an agreement that has the balance of the needs represented by UFW, which was, you know, we don't want to do anything to undermine the basic wage for the workers versus, you know, the access and the reasonable wage that the producers wanted. Who was next here? Microphone? Okay, well, I'm sorry. They're ahead of me. Go ahead if you've got the mic, Alan.
Alan Bearder from Bloomberg News, and as a member of the National Press Club, I did pay for this microphone. My first question is addressed most specifically to Ms. Foster and Mr. Stewart, although anyone could answer it. One of the things that really distinguishes farm workers is that this is an international labor market in which a lot of the workers come from the countries with which we're actually competing. I would be interested in knowing how that labor competition under the current immigration system has affected the growth of your industry and what the new system being proposed you're hoping that may do for some of those growth issues. Related to that, a question for Mr. Rodriguez. Given that downward price pressure that you see with this international labor market competition, do you see those pressures continuing under this new agreement?
Yes, as Chuck just whispered in my ear, there are a lot of questions there, so I'll do my best from the Apple perspective, and Mike and Arturo probably will add as well. For apples, a number of our growers do use the current H-2A program, which is why I mentioned if you want examples of some of the difficulties, we're glad to share them. A lot of them do use the current migrant workforce. Most of our workers that come in from overseas are not from countries that are our foreign other major producers of apples overseas. So I think that maybe we're not quite in the category you indicated. However, the apple industry, I mean, we know that people like apples, people are eating apples, and they're eating more apples. We think that's driven by health. It's also convenience, flavor, taste, new varieties coming on board. But we feel that because there has been expansion in the domestic apple industry, because people, you know, are enjoying their apples and applesauce and apple juice, all forms, that here we are expanding, but the foundation of our industry, the ability to pick our crop, is very unstable. So we're expanding at the same point that the foundation of our industry is not solid. And that's why we are so excited about this agreement, and that's why immigration reform and ensuring a stable, reliable workforce, and we respect these workers. They are valuable, as Arturo has said, is, you know, key to the future of our industry.
Alan, it's a great question. You know, particularly in Florida, we face a lot of international competitive pressures and have for quite some time. And as Arturo would recognize, a lot of the discussion that we had during the negotiations related to ensuring that we developed an agreement that would allow us to be competitive into the future. In these discussions, I wasn't so much concerned about the very short term. I was concerned about the long term, and Arturo and I had some good conversations about that. So I think both of us feel comfortable that looking towards the future, 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now, we've structured a program here that will allow industries in a competitive environment like Florida and elsewhere. It's not just Florida. There are industries within our fruit and vegetable industry elsewhere in the country that are having the same kind of a challenge. We'll have access to the blue card workers, particularly during this transitional period, and then under the new visa program, access to a workforce that will continue to allow the industries to be competitive in this what has been, particularly for vegetable commodities in Florida, a very competitive environment with countries like Mexico and others.
And in response to your question, I would just say that, you know, I think, first of all, the ag industry here in comparison to other countries is, in my estimation, far beyond. The infrastructure that we have here, the protections we have here for American consumers, I know everybody here would agree with me that well, they would disagree with me in terms of the regulations that exist in some particular cases, but I think it does protect the industry as much as it protects workers and particularly the consumers in our nation. And you're not going to find that outside the United States necessarily. And so I think because the workforce here is highly professional, they're very skilled workers, they pick with a lot of quality, there's high productivity rates, you can look at all the stats here, far more than what you see outside the United States. So I think because of that reason, it behooves us all to really maintain a viable agricultural industry here in the U.S. that's going to produce not only for the industry, but simultaneously for consumers here in our country.
Alan, I will just close by saying if there's a couple of good studies out there that staff in here can give you some references for that do show this issue of lost production in the United States that has moved offshore because of lack of workers, and then secondly, lost revenue to producers as a result of not being able to get the workers they need for the existing crops. So, next question. We're going to go to the phone, and I'm not sure how that works, but...
To ask an audio question, please press star 1. Your first question comes from the line of Martin Ross, Illinois Farm Week.
Thank you. Basically, I was wondering, number one, how the ag framework fits with e-verify, with electronic verification, potential e-verify requirements, to kind of help protect the ag employer, among others. And then also, with United Farm Workers on board, that's a good thing, and I've read that AFL-CIO, too, is backing comprehensive reform. At this point, is there a fairly sturdy union support in both ag and non-ag areas that will help carry the bill through?
Martin, I'll turn it over to Arturo to respond to the latter part of your question here.
Thank you. My understanding is on the comprehensive immigration reform that definitely the AFL-CIO, the American Labor Movement, has fully endorsed and supported the comprehensive bill. And certainly in agriculture, we've spent a lot of time, as was Tom mentioned earlier today, about the coalition that's been formed among agricultural employees. We certainly did the same thing among different organizations representing and working with farm workers here in the nation. So we are all very committed and endorse this agreement, and we will all do anything necessary to really ensure the passage of this agreement as quickly as possible.
I could just add, relative to the E-Verify questions, you know, this has been part of the broader comprehensive bill that has been, you know, negotiated outside the context of our agricultural group, if you will. But I will say that there are provisions in the bill that ensure that when it comes to enforcement through the e-verification process, however that ends up at the end of the day, that agriculture, if you will, is going to be at the toward the end of the line in terms of that enforcement in order to get maximum amount of time for this plan to be up and running before, you're going to see any kind of enforcement going on out there among, the small farms of America. Jerry.
Jerry Heister from the Heister Report. Could you tell me, where do you feel that you stand in your level of political support at the moment, in the Senate? And secondly, in the House, some of the most outspoken opponents of immigration reform or those worried about immigration, more immigrants coming into the country, are from rural America. How will you handle that, since I know these are people who are supportive of your issues in other areas?
Well, Jerry, you put your finger on a very, very important part of this whole coalition. As you know, in our past efforts to pass immigration reform, agriculture has not always been united. But that's something that really is a completely different picture this time. We are here together and unified. There's certainly going to be a number of members of the Senate and perhaps even more so in the House that, as you properly characterized, may look askance at some of the issues that are included in this bill. I think they are going to listen to us, though. As we portrayed to you here, this is a crisis in American agriculture. It's a crisis for all of us in production, but it's also a crisis for the workers, and it's a crisis for the consumers who expect us to be able to deliver American fruits and vegetables or dairy products. Those members of the Senate who may not instinctively be on board, we believe that agriculture is going to be a key to passing broad immigration reform. If you look at where the politics are, it's going to be the people in this room who really make the difference in some of those very swing votes to support broad immigration reform.
I wonder if the floor would have any reaction to that.
Please.
Yeah, I concur with everything that was just said. I mean, in terms of the work that's been done here by the coalition, as well as the representatives of the various farm worker organizations throughout the country. We have all worked very hard to communicate to everyone that this is important, this is critical for immigrants as much as it is for the agricultural industry in our nation, and that we expect their support. And certainly, it was very clear in terms of what happened in the last presidential elections, where we had over 13 million Latinos voting in those particular elections. And we've certainly done a lot of outreach to the Latino community, asking for their support and expecting their support to really make this possible and to do the work necessary to talk to senators or members of Congress where it's important to do so.
Let's take another question from the phone if we could.
Your next question comes online of Coral Beach, the Packer newspaper.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. And if I could ask from here on, if the speakers responding to the questions could identify themselves, that would help those of us on the phone. My question is particularly directed toward the two Toms on the panel. Do you think the expanded E-Verify system is going to be a hard sell to your memberships?
No, this is Tom Nassif from Western Growers. The E-Verify has always been supported by our membership. We supported it when it was brought up in the Judiciary Committee last year. All we asked was that before you start enforcing E-Verify, give us some legislation which allows us to have this legal, stable workforce. If you have that, we want E-Verify. We want people who are here legally to be working in our fields. We do not want to employ people who are here illegally. Tom, did you have anything?
Carl, I can't say it any better than Tom Nassif just did, Tom Stenzel. I will tell you this, that our opposition to some of the E-Verify provisions in past congressional consideration had to do with the problems, the errors in the E-Verify program. But as Tom just said, we never had a problem with the means to verify the legality of our workers. That's something that is a principle that we believe in strongly. But if we can pass this legislation, and we will pass this legislation, then you have the new guest worker program, the legal status of the current workforce, and under those circumstances, E-Verify is a natural part of that.
Thank you. Could I follow up with another question?
Sure, go ahead.
Do you guys have statistics on how many workers would be eligible for the blue cards? Is there a number on that yet?
We do not have that data available right now.
Thank you.
Comment on that?
I'll just say we don't have a number, but through the hard work that was done by everyone that's in front of you and other members of the coalition, we've certainly made it possible for the majority of agricultural workers in this nation to be able to qualify. There is a eligibility period that will be set from in 2011 and 2012, and during that time period, those 2 years, an agricultural worker would have to demonstrate that they worked 100 days in agriculture, which we feel will allow the majority of farm workers to be able to qualify for this program. What the exact number is, we're not sure.
Hi, it's Paul Brasher with CQ. To some extent, I'm following up on what Jerry asked just a minute ago, and that's in terms of the political support for this in those regions of the country that are not necessarily fruit and vegetable growers and maybe not necessarily dairy producers either. However, there are livestock sectors that it's no secret use undocumented workers and not represented here necessarily. Do you expect support from but they are represented in some of these districts, whether in from western Iowa to across the, down the plains to Texas. Do you expect support, maybe even behind the scenes, from some of these producers and maybe members of yours, Chuck, in some cases? Is it going to be a quieter sort of support given the politics?
Phil, let me answer that a couple of different ways, if you will. Certainly, for the Agricultural Workforce Coalition, you know, we've got support from over 70 organizations now. This is very, very broad. It does include, you know, some livestock interests. I think the second part of the second point is I think you may be making reference to some of what we've heard about from another category of workers, for example, in the meatpacking industry. You know, that is, if you will, outside the workforce coalition's, you know, particular action where we have been focusing, again, upon the, you know, the workers on our farms and ranches. And so I know there's concern there, but again, we have stayed pretty focused upon, you know, getting the workers, the legal workforce to our farms and ranches across America today. You guys want to add anything? Jerry from Livestock, anything you want to add to that?
Well, just that in dairy, our producers are not only dairy farmers, but we're selling a lot of meat to the market. We have a lot of relationships with cattlemen, and they have some of the same problems that we have. So I would expect that they would take a look at the business aspects of what is going on, and hopefully that they will support this effort.
Okay, let's go back to the phones.
Your next question comes from the line of Gosia. What? Associated Press.
Hi, this is Gosia Wozniacka, reporter with the AP. My question is, after the 1986 legalization, a lot of farm workers left agriculture. What will the ag industry do to make sure that doesn't happen this time? Or are you expecting that this will happen and you're planning that a lot of your workers will come from the new visa program?
Well, obviously, you've touched upon an issue that was very, very sensitive in our negotiations. Someone asked earlier, you know, how many workers? The simple answer is there's a strong incentive program here for workers, but yet at the end of the day, we don't know, you know, how many workers may opt to do other things, and that's where the guest worker program became very, very, very important for the Workforce Coalition. And, you know, again, that was the balance we were trying to achieve. We believe the compromise has the number of potential guest workers to backfill, if you will, for the loss of the so-called blue card workers, the current domestic workforce in agriculture. I will tell you as well that within the legislative language, there's emergency authorities for the Secretary of Agriculture to take in the event that, you know, we're off a little bit on numbers, and we all recognize that, you know, the Secretary is not going to just sort of do this on a whim, but, you know, with some good sound data out there, if the need is there in terms of the shortage of workers for, you know, whatever the reason may be, he's got the ability to lift those guest worker caps in order to meet that particular demand. Arturo, did you want to add anything on that?
Arturo Rodriguez. You know, I think, again, there are a lot of provisions here that will encourage farm workers to stay in the agricultural industry. I mean, first of all, they will have the opportunity to gain permanent residency status here in the country within a five-year period. And then they can clearly move on and continue to work in the agricultural industry as a result of that. I think also, in addition, because of the discussions that we had on wages and so forth, there will be an enticement or an incentive for farm workers to continue to stay working in agriculture and to look forward to this as more of an occupation, a profession, as opposed to just something that they do as an entry-level job here into our nation.
And can I just ask a follow-up question? Who was speaking, the first person who was speaking, who was that?
President, CEO, National Council of Farmer Cooperatives.
And your name?
Ben.
Say it again?
I'm sorry, Chuck Connor,
Okay, that's all I need.
Thank you.
And you mentioned that there is an incentive. Is it the incentive just to get the green card to 5 years, or is there any other incentive after that?
Yeah, I believe, you know, in terms of staying in the program and getting into the program, I mean, there are, again, a number of different factors. One is that workers to qualify for the program, to be eligible for the program, need to just demonstrate that they worked 100 days in agriculture between 2011 and 2012. That's going to be different from the comprehensive, because the cutoff for comprehensive is 12/31/2011. Secondly, fines, we estimate those to be lower. That's what the bill calls for as of right now. The opportunities for workers in regards to issues around the violations that they may have committed previously will also be looked at in a very favorable way. Because I think everybody understands in the nation that the industry that's most impacted by undocumented workers right now is agriculture. Somewhere around 70% to 80% probably of the industry exist with undocumented workers at this time. And so knowing that and understanding that, I think everyone looks favorably upon doing everything possible, first of all, to make sure that the workforce, the professional workforce that's out there right now, has an opportunity to gain legal status in this country and then to stay working in agriculture as an occupation, as a profession, and that skilled workforce will continue to benefit our nation.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay, back to the phones.
Your next question comes from the line of Kevin Buford, The Ledger.
Thank you. I was wondering, this was a three-way negotiation between labor and employers and the Senate, and I wondered if there was any areas where the employers and the unions did agree on that they wanted in the bill, but when they went to the senators, they said, no, we can't do that. That's not technically possible.
This is Chuck Connor from National Council of Farmer Co-ops, and I will just say again, I describe this bill as a really important balance of interests here. And, we had different goals from the beginning. Perhaps there were different goals among, the senators who were so instrumental in pulling this together. But we all had a common recognition that the status quo is totally unacceptable. It's unacceptable for members of Congress, who are responsible for this. It's unacceptable for agricultural producers because, we can't get the workers we need, the documented workers that we need, and certainly it's unacceptable for those workers that are here in the United States who have been here in a professional capacity, working in some cases for a very, very long time, still in that undocumented status. So status quo is unacceptable. Given that notion that we have to solve this problem, sure, there were differences among all of us from time to time, but at the end of the day, it was a carefully negotiated package that all of us are prepared to embrace.
Well, can you give me an idea of what the employers, what compromises the employers and the UFW were willing to make? I mean, what did you, what would you have liked to see in the bill, and you agree to step back on that?
Well, again, let me just say that in order to get to this place, you know, this bill is an act of compromise on all the part of all interests. On virtually every issue that we discussed, it's an act of compromise. And again, to solve this problem that has been festering out there in American agriculture for 30 years, the Agricultural Workforce Coalition, you know, was willing to make those necessary compromise, as was the UFW, as were the members of Congress that were involved.
Yeah, this is Arturo Rodriguez. You know, I think just by the very fact that we're here today and jointly doing this press conference, I think really sends a strong message as to the way we all look at this. Earlier today, we were Democratic senators, some of us, and yesterday we were with eight members of the House, bipartisan group of folks that were there, and we all went in unison to really talk about this agreement, the support that we have, knowing that, yes, there was a lot of debate that took place, but the senators, to their credit, very much respected the viewpoints of both of all the parties that were involved and all the discussions that we had, and knew that we had to come to agreement that we would be satisfactory with. And in the end, that's what we did.
Okay, let's go one more to the phone here, and then Jerry, I'll go to you next. If you...
Your next question comes from the line of Jim Dickrell, Gary Today.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I was just curious if there is a similar package in the House, or if the Senate is expected to move first and then see where it goes from there.
There is not, at this point, a similar package in the House. Mr. Rodriguez noted that we did meet yesterday with certain members of the House that have had a strong, you know, interest in this particular issue and have been charged with some of the responsibilities for coming up with an immigration plan. So we're already active in terms of promoting this important compromise to our colleagues in the House. But as of this point, there has not been legislation proposed. I don't think even an outline exists in the House, but we are ready to take our message there as well. Jerry?
Well, since you mentioned the House, can you tell us who the eight members were? Is this the group
No.
that was organized by Raul Labrador? And how did these eight House members react? Are these people that are likely to be supporters, or a mix, or what?
Well, Jerry, I think the important thing is it's a bipartisan group. And I think from this meeting, I'm not going to call them out. If one of my colleagues wants to, I'll put that in their hands. I'm not going to call them out, but it was a bipartisan group. And, you know, I think what they demonstrated was that, you know, they are trying to work together, and that's an important step in this process. Go ahead, Phil.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to let you go on that one. are you talking about the bipartisan working group in the House? And beyond that, are you planning to, Arturo, you mentioned that you met with some Democratic senators. Who were they? And do you have plans to meet with Republicans, and how many and who? So.
Arturo Rodriguez, we're going to be meeting with everyone. I think all of us that are here today, the other members of the various associations that couldn't join with us today, certainly all the members of the farmworker organizations throughout the country. Last week, we had about 150 farm workers here talking to members of Congress on both sides of the aisle, and we will do so until we get this bill passed and signed by President Barack Obama. We're going to make every effort necessary.
Okay, let's go back to the phones.
Your next question comes from the line of Catherine Marlowe, Dairy Today in AgWeb.
Thank you. My question regards E-Verify, and I think I heard someone say this earlier in the call, but will enforcement of E-Verify be delayed or pushed to the back burner while this proposal winds its way through Congress?
I'll respond here in just a second. Let me just say in very general terms, and we can get you details specifically on this. As was noted earlier in a couple of different statements, including one by myself, and this is Chuck Connor from National Council of Farmer Co-ops, in terms of E-Verify, the legislation specifically does contemplate agriculture being moved to what we characterize as sort of the back of the line in terms of that E-Verify enforcement. And this was something that was important to us. You know, we felt like small farmers out there oftentimes will have the most difficulty, in fully complying with, new and sometimes difficult programs like this. We wanted to give them the maximum time for this new program, both the guest worker as well as the blue card program, to be up and running and functioning, before they are hit with, the E-Verify provisions. And we feel like this legislation captures that full effect of giving that maximum time for, producers to make sure they understand exactly how these programs work before the enforcement is going to come to our farms and ranches. Okay, let's go one more on the phone.
Your next question comes from the line of Bob Meyer, Brownfield Ag News.
Thank you. Just a couple of questions here on the follow-up on this. There are those, the opponents mainly contend that, number one, they want to have the border closed before any legality is passed regarding the workmanship. And also, many question whether or not the fines are big enough, that this is a violation of law when they came into the country and that these should be fined more. Your thoughts on these?
Yeah, again, let me just say that the group that you have before you is a group that was responsible really for the agricultural provisions in this bill in terms of our negotiation. We were not in any way engaged either directly or indirectly in the broader comprehensive debate of which obviously border security is a huge component of that. So that's just not the track that we ran on, Tom.
This is Tom Stenzel. Let me just give you a fruit and vegetable producer's perspective on the border, though. We have seen the border closing for the last 5 to 10 years. We're not seeing an increased flow or even a flow that stays current in terms of more undocumented workers coming in the United States. So as Chuck said, how the Congress is going to determine border security, what standards that they're going to put forward, that's beyond us. But simply from our producer standpoint, there is no increasing flow or there's no flow even to meet current demand coming into the country. As we look to the future of our workforce, we have an aging population, even among the undocumented, that is not being backfilled today crossing the border.
Okay, Justin, do we have any other questions on the phone, or is that it? Okay, we're done on the phone. Any other questions here before we wrap up? Jerry, I'll give you the final question.
I noticed that in the agreement, it will be the Agriculture Department that will determine the size of the need for workers. But I presume that the Labor Department is still involved in workforce standards. Could somebody explain a little bit about the division of labor between USDA and labor on these policies?
Let me do this briefly, and then I will ask for some help here from my colleagues on this. You're right, Jerry, in that there is an enhanced role for the Secretary of Agriculture and the Department of Agriculture. As was noted, the Secretary of Agriculture will have authority, we characterize as emergency authority in years 1 through 5 to actually adjust the cap. In the event that the determination of the shortage of guest workers is determined, from years 5 and beyond, the Secretary actually has the not authority, but in this case he has the mandate from Congress to actually set the cap, which, you know, he would do on an, he or she would do on an annual basis. So that part of it is there. And just in terms of the Department of Agriculture in general, there are provisions in there as well that are important to our sector in terms of the farmers making the certification of the need for the guest workers. That will be done through the Department of Agriculture, presumably through, you know, the county office structure that exists out there. We feel like this is something that our farmers and ranchers are going to be very, very comfortable with. They're going to go into an environment that they're familiar with. They're going to, you know, be in an environment where they feel comfortable and operating and functioning, and will get help when they need it, rather than perhaps others where it might, you know, might not be quite so comfortable for them, and might not get quite the help that they expect, particularly once this thing is just getting started. So there's going to be a big role for those local USDA offices as well. You guys want to add, Mike?
Jerry, the only thing I would add to that, this is Mike Stewart from Florida Fruit and Vegetable. The Department of Labor will continue to have responsibility for workplace enforcement under the Fair Labor Standards Act, Migrant and Seasonal Ag Worker Protection Act. So that does not change under this agreement, nor did we intend for it to change. So as Chuck says, the administration of the Future Flow Program under the W-2, W-3 visas under this this law would be administered by the Department of Agriculture. Department of Homeland Security would have a role in terms of the granting of the visas and that type of thing. So you're going to have three agencies that will continue to be involved, but agriculture would have the primary responsibility for the administration of the program.
Okay, folks, with that, we thank you all again for coming, and look forward to working more with you throughout this, what will prove to be a lengthy process, I suspect.
Thank you for joining today's conference call. You may now disconnect your phone lines.